Welcome to Listen to Lawrence, presented by Lawrence Eric Davidow, Senior and Managing Partner of Davidow, Davidow, Siegel & Stern, one of the first and most successful elder law, special needs, and estate planning firms on Long Island. This podcast series is based on his Listen to Lawrence seminars and will teach you how to plan in advance to protect your own assets and those that you leave to your children and grandchildren. Mr. Davidow is a past president of the National Academy of Elder Law Attorneys, a published author, and an accomplished and educational speaker. So sit back and listen to Lawrence.
Hello, everybody. This is Lawrence Davidow, and this is another episode of Listen to Lawrence, where I answer your questions. I'm an elder law special needs and estate planning attorney out here on Long Island, and I have dedicated this podcast to just getting your questions and answering them in simple terms, using simple language, trying not to talk like a lawyer. So why don't we get right into today's question, and that is, hey Lawrence, a friend of mine set up a revocable trust to avoid probate. Is this something that I need to worry about? All right, buckle your seatbelts here. This is a big topic that I'm going to cover hopefully quickly and simply. But there's a few things I want to say. First of all, oh my God, did you hear that word, probate? Probate is a sin. You're not allowed to say that word. You can't go through probate. Oh my God, it's embarrassing. You can't. Nobody wants to go through probate. Horrible, horrible word. And I don't believe that. I think that probate is a system that we've had for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. It dates back into England, where your will gets probated. That means your will, you understand, is a worthless piece of paper until you probate it. That means you fill out a lot of paperwork and you hire a lawyer and you go into court and you probate it. And basically, it's the administration of using a will. At death, we have to take that will to court. We say to the judge, hey, we're going to prove that this was indeed the last will and testament. Nobody is fighting it. Nobody's contesting it. There was no undue influence. It was properly executed. And once the judge is convinced that this is the proper will, he'll allow the will to go through probate. And at that point, he gives a piece of paper to the executor, and now the executor's in charge, and the executor will collect the assets, and the executor will pay the bills and file the tax returns and account to the court, and then distribute to the money to the people that are named in the will. That's normal. And that's not complicated usually. And that's not expensive, because this is what I hear. Probate is terrible. Why? Because the lawyer's going to end up with all your money and it's going to take forever. The solution, people say, well, then why don't we just set up a revocable trust? And what you do is you create this trust. It's revocable. That just means that you can put your assets in the trust. And you can revoke it. You can get your assets back, and you can even be the trustee of your own trust. And upon your death, the assets will automatically go out to your kids without probate. In other words, you avoid probate if everything automatically goes out to your family without needing the will to do it. You don't necessarily need a trust to do that. If you have a bank account or an IRA or a brokerage account or something that names a beneficiary, then that avoids probate too. The assets will automatically go out. So there are ways to set up accounts that where you avoid probate with beneficiaries or joint assets. A joint asset may go to the survivor, or you can create this revocable trust. But there may be some assets like real estate that we may not be able to put a beneficiary on, and that's the kind of asset you might want to put into a revocable trust. But then you have to pay for this trust. And the cost, this is my bottom line opinion, is that very often the cost, the legal fees, basically, of creating the trust are about the same as the cost of going through probate. So why bother? Let your kids pay for it when you're dead. Why should you pay for it now? On the other hand, you may say, look, I don't really care if I pay for it now. I just want to make things nice and easy for my kids. If that's your value system and that's what you're trying to accomplish, I'm okay with that. That's okay. I just want you to understand what you're getting for your money, because too often there are lawyers out there that peddle trusts. They're trust salesmen, and I'm not a trust salesman. I am a lawyer, and all I'm going to do is give you my straight advice. But there are some people who think that these revocable trusts are the greatest things since sliced bread. They call them living trusts, loving trusts, whatever. But they're good. I can't complain about them, but I just think they're oversold, and I don't think everybody needs them, and I don't think that most people even really want them. They want to keep their lives simple. And I can't tell you how many times I've seen clients do revocable trust where they end up forgetting to put something in it, and they end up going through probate anyway, so what have you accomplished? However, having said that, there are times that I will absolutely insist that a client do a revocable trust because it just makes sense in your particular case. I remember the very first case that my father gave me. Now, I'm a third-generation lawyer. My grandfather started our law firm in 1913 in Patchogue. My father and uncle ran it for many years. So I joined the firm in 1986. I worked for my father. And he gave me this case. Almost the first week I was there, he said, "Here, Lawrence, here's a simple will. Go probate it." Well, it was this lady who died. She was 90. She lived in Patchogue. She had a $100,000 house and really nothing else. And she wasn't married. She didn't have any kids. She didn't have any brothers and sisters. But she had a friend that helped take care of her. And that friend was the executor named in the will and that sole beneficiary of the house. And he says, "Go probate this." And I'm thinking, all right, this one should be easy. But then I learned that not every will is easy to probate, because the law of New York says that in order to probate the will, you first must notify everybody who's getting cut out of the will. All right, well, who's getting cut out of this lady's will? Well, she didn't have a spouse. She didn't have any children. She didn't have any brothers and sisters. She was 90 when she died. Her parents were dead. But her mother had 14 brothers and sisters. Her father had 13 brothers and sisters. So there's 27 aunts and uncles, and we had to find them all. Of course, they were all dead, leaving literally hundreds of first cousins spread throughout the world. Now, this was a family that came here probably around the turn of the century from Ireland. Surprise, surprise. We've got 27 branches of the family, each having anywhere from 2 to 10 kids each. And that's true of so many of those immigrant families, whether they were Italian or they were Irish or they were Jewish. That is what happened back then. And here we had to find hundreds of first cousins spread throughout the world. Well, I did. I really should have at that point stopped being a lawyer and joined Ancestry.com or found Ancestry.com, but I didn't. But I put together an amazing, amazing family tree for this family, and we had to send out these notices throughout the world, not just the United States and Ireland, but England and South Africa and Australia and throughout Europe and certainly throughout the United States. But eventually, I was able to track down most of them. The rest I had to publish. We had to publish in the newspaper. A couple of years later, finally, we were able to probate the will, and the friend was able to get the house. This was a nightmare. However, if this particular client had set up a revocable trust and transferred their house into the revocable trust, and they were the sole trustee of the revocable trust, and upon this lady's death, her friend became the trustee, all the friend would have had to do is sell the house and take the money. She would never have had to bother with lawyers and courts and the system. So when I determine whether or not it's appropriate to set up a revocable trust, I'm thinking, well, is this particular probate going to be difficult? Because if it's not, I'm not sure you absolutely need one unless it's just it makes you happy. All right. But what makes a probate difficult? Well, if you're treating your children unequally and one is going to be upset, the last place I want to be is court. Let's avoid probate. If you have a child with disabilities who can't sign off on the probate of the will. See, in other words, if you have a child with disabilities, the court is going to appoint a guardian for them called a guardian ad litem. It takes a long time to get the report. You have to pay for it. It slows up the process. If you have a child with disabilities who can't sign their name, they're not competent, then I would want to avoid probate, set up a revocable trust. If you have real estate in two states, so typical in a New York practice, our clients have the house here and that condo in Florida, a bunch of, you know, the snowbird kind of a situation. Well, you have to probate in every state where you have real estate. So now we have to double our effort. We have to probate in New York, and then we have to probate in Florida. That doubles the time. It doubles the legal fees. So those are the type of cases, the fact patterns I'm looking for where I think it's appropriate to avoid probate. And that's when I'm going to talk to a client about a revocable trust. I'm not saying a revocable trust is bad. Believe me, I do lots of them for clients who don't have these other special fact circumstances because it makes them happy that they dotted the I's and crossed the T's and they made things easier for their family. But know what you're getting. You're really not saving a lot of money and you're not saving a lot of time because the probate these days, it doesn't take a lot of time. It's getting more electronic, digital every day. Things are going much more quickly than they ever did. So don't have a knee-jerk reaction that everybody has a revocable trust. And if anybody says that everybody needs a revocable trust and has to avoid probate, run in any event. So I'm done. This is what I wanted to talk about today. This is the message I wanted to get out there. If you have other questions out there, I want your questions. That's what feeds this podcast. So I want you to go to info@davidowlaw.com. That's DAVIDOWLAW.com. info@davidowlaw.com. Send me your questions. And what I will do is I will answer those questions at a future podcast or in one of my Listen to Lawrence letters. So twice a week, I send out an email. You can, if you want to get onto that, send us a quick email at info@davidowlaw.com and we'll set you up for that so that you get my emails each week. They're very short answers to questions that our clients and friends have. So send me your questions. I'll answer them. I hope that you see that I'm answering these questions in simple terms. I'm not trying not to talk like a lawyer. I'm having fun. So let's keep it going. I want to have this communication with you. I want to have this give and take. And let's learn something, okay? I wish you all peace, health, and happiness. Thank you for listening to Lawrence. And until next time, stay safe, my friends. Bye-bye.
The Listen to Lawrence podcast is not meant to be advice particular to any one person or to serve as a do-it-yourself planning guide. It's simply to educate the audience. For more information, please visit davidowlaw.com.